Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. You're going to be glad you did because our good buddy, Ted Fishman, is back with us right now. Ted is the author of China, Inc., has become one of my favorite books, Ted C. Fishman, if just like it sounds. If you're looking for him, if you're looking to Google him, that's the title on the book. And I'm happy to tell you that Ted has successfully returned from another visit recently to China, to that behemoth of a country in size and population and economic emergence. And he's our good friend Ted Fishman. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, so glad to be with you, Jim. Good morning.
Good. Hello to you. And you know, Ted, in the beginning of the year, I started reminding my audience of something that I thought we would be living this year. And that was, I said, we're going to be living the ancient Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times.
Yeah, we sure are. Of course, China is making them more and more interesting for us. Yeah, I was in China this time. I went to Beijing, which is going through the biggest building boom in the history of the world.
Wow. They're sucking up all the steel, aren't they?
What?
They're sucking up all the steel and the concrete. And the concrete.
It's astonishing what's going on. When you see what's being built there, you think everything in the world's getting sucked up in that one city alone. It's added the population of New York basically in the last 10 years, and there are between.
Slow down. Say that again.
Yeah,
it's added
roughly the population of New York.
Think about that, folks. Wherever they added a New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
8 million people.
Yeah, around 7 million. So
unbelievable.
It's just enormous. There's the counts are hard to come by good numbers, but there's over 10,000 construction sites, between 2 and 3 million construction workers who have come from all over China to build this place.
Wow.
The old pictures you have of
how
Beijing,
are they feeding? How are they feeding all those people? China's an incredible thing. The fact that people get fed, and it's just unbelievable, isn't
There's food inflation. You know, I came back just before these massive, horrific snowstorms that they had in China.
Yeah.
I don't know if you read about them, but, China has around, the numbers are, close to 2 million, close to 200 million people are migrant workers in China, which means they work nearly all the year away from their home. They are among these group that are building Beijing, the workers. Mm-hmm. They get around $8 a day,
mm-hmm.
And that's better pay than they get in other parts of the country, about twice what they get in other parts of the country. And they have 1 week a year to go home. And
1 week a year?
Yeah, because of these snowstorms.
They weren't able to go.
178 million people could not make, had trouble making the trip. And this one town in southern China, there were around 100,000 people at the train station trying to get on a train, and they just couldn't do it. And
aren't you glad you had already left?
Oh yeah, that was something. But it just shows you that there's a country nearly the size, bigger than the United States' entire workforce, which is trying to get home 1 day a week.
Right, think about that.
1 week a year,
Think about that. Well, let me ask you, back to my interesting times thing. I said that there were going to be two things that were going to be the most interesting year, I think, for us in a long time. One of them is the economy, which China is going to play a part of that. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the other one really has very little to do with China, and that's politics.
Mm.
Now, yesterday we had a Super Duper Tuesday, and some people their dog run won the race, and some didn't. But regardless of where you're, whether your team won or not, so to speak, pardon the mixed metaphors, you got to look back on what happened yesterday, Ted, and just think of it as a beautiful thing. What do you think the Chinese think when they see what happened yesterday?
You know, they probably think a couple things. One is they would love to vote like that, and Chinese people would like to participate. The other thing they see is that the wife of a president did very, very well, which would be a very kind of dynastic thing the Chinese would understand.
would that be like the collapse of their universe if something like that happened?
If a vote happened, well, you know, the Communist Party definitely thinks so. You know, they had their equivalent of American Idol a couple of years ago, run by one of the provinces, and around 80 million people voted in that, the biggest election ever in China. And the government said you can't run it that way anymore.
It's can't do it that way anymore. This could be contagious. We can't let this out.
That's right.
Stand by, Ted. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Ted Fishman is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us, and we'll be right back. Here is Dire Straits to take us out. One man, one guitar. Lindsey Buckingham, ladies and gentlemen. If you've ever seen him do this performance, it's incredible. The way he plays the guitar. Nobody else in the world plays a guitar the way this guy does. And of course, he's part of the Fleetwood Mac original team. Welcome back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Ted Fishman, the author of China, Inc., and we're talking about China. And actually, we were talking, as we went to the break, Ted, we were talking about what China would think about the thing that happened yesterday. I mean, do you think, you know, when we look at China, when we sort of cast our eyes westward from the United States, a lot of people break out in a little bit of a cold sweat, or they get anxious, they get worrisome, they're a little bit concerned about the impact that China could have on us. Do you think that the Chinese leadership look eastward at what happened, things that happened like yesterday, and they get a little worried about, a little anxious about what the impact we could have on them?
I think they do, and you know the coverage
with cause.
You know, that's hard for me to predict. I think the Chinese government has an enormous amount of legitimacy among its own people because of the economic growth.
Yeah.
And until there's a setback there, their legitimacy will not be tested. There'll be less clamoring. Usually it's the middle class that pushes up for change. The middle class is very, very much bought into the system as it is.
Oh, really?
Because the middle class grows out of these government interests, which have so much economic
power. Oh, yeah, that's where their power and wealth comes from, doesn't it?
That's right. So
but haven't you told us that the Chinese middle class is the size of the U.S. population?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Of course, the starting point is much, much lower, but for a Chinese middle class lifestyle, it begins around $10,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the way economic development is unfolded there is the great entrepreneurial boom in China, you know, begins kind of with who are the government participants in the business. And, you know, it's something no economist has modeled yet. But in some ways, you know, kind of the kleptocratic nature of the state is very much tied to the entrepreneurial boom because it has brought the government interest, a communist government interest, into the capitalist market with lots of incentives to get them there. And
that's a funny duck, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been phenomenal. So in some ways, you encourage the government to act against its own interests at the beginning of this boom, and then get them to buy into the market.
What is this? I mean, that's going to be like the equivalent of a duckbill platypus in the marketplace. I mean, think
it's
about
absolutely
that. Communist entrepreneurs.
That's exactly.
I mean, how much of a duckbill platypus is that?
Yeah, there's a name for it in China. They're called red capitalists.
Red capitalists, unbelievable.
Yeah. So, and you know, there's tens
amazing.
Of millions of them.
Well, you know, what do you think would be the next thing that could happen in China that could possibly cause them to lose? You know, could this be a house of cards? This red capitalism that's going on over there, because we know that they've got this growth, but you and I both know that that their capital markets are very primitive in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
And they're not really that they don't have really all that good of systems in place. Is there a reckoning coming one day over there, you think?
Well, I think there's going to be an economic reckoning because no economy grows at between 10% and 11.5% forever. It's just an impossibility, and they're reaching a lot of these limits now. Pollution is a limit.
Yeah.
There's political limits. The World Bank revised down China's growth just yesterday, more than a percentage point for the year. Still be something we'd envy, I think.
It's actually probably a good thing, isn't it?
It is a good thing.
They don't need to.
They're trying really hard to do it, and they just can't do it.
It's dangerous to grow the way they have because they really don't. They don't have the organizational, logistical, and governmental capacity to manage all that, do they?
They're riding a tiger right now, and even on these snowstorms, the government sent 2 million police to train stations to keep order.
Wow.
I'm from Chicago. I know snowstorms.
You know from snowstorms, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, what should American business owners think about all this, Ted?
Well, I think for American business owners, you have to expect two things. One is you have to expect that the Chinese firms who you've never heard of are going to be competing for the business that you now do with other businesses. They're going to be competing to manufacture parts, to provide services.
Yep.
They are going to be serving industrial clusters that are moving to China. So if you have a B2B strategy, you have to figure out how you can keep that here and add value in the United States.
And how do we do that when they can sell things some ways back to us cheaper than we can make them?
Well, you have to be the one who provides those.
$8 a day is pretty low pay.
Yeah, well, you have to figure out a strategy that can do that. I mean, we compete with low-cost labor by automating and providing means to make our workers more productive.
Doesn't it also mean, Ted, that we have to look at our product mix and say, you know what, we're never going to be competitive with those three things. We better just forget, not make our living with those anymore. Let's focus on these things that are best done in the United States.
That's absolutely right. You have to jettison what you cannot compete in.
Yeah.
Do not hold on to it. And
the paradigms are shifting, aren't they?
And you have to make yourself a lifelong, flexible learner. That is the main thing that you
say that again.
You have to make yourself a lifelong, flexible earner. Do not wed yourself to a particular set of skills that will get outdated. Wed yourself to problem-solving skills, or you focus on a project, not a tool set.
Yeah.
And you can change with the times.
Lifelong learner. Lifelong. Quick break. The great Roman statesman Cato, when he learned Greek at 84, they said, "Why are you learning this language at your age?" He said, "This is the youngest age I have." 10 Till, right back with our good friend Ted Fishman, the author of China Inc. By the way, I think it's out in paperback, isn't it, Ted?
Absolutely, it sure is.
Out in paperback. You got to have this, folks. 10 Till, stay with us. No one can tell. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for hanging around with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Please go there. Check them out. See what you find there. You got a question. You got an idea. You got a thought, something you're trying to determine. We got lots of stuff there in both sites, depending on how you want to use the information and what you're trying to accomplish. So go to smallbusinessadvocate.com. And also askjim.biz. Ted Fishman is our guest. Ted, give us your website, please.
It's www.chinainc-book.com.
All right, chinainc-book.com.
And email too, tc like Tomcat Fishman at gmail.com.
All right, and at Gmail. And the book is available now out in paperback, and both hardback and paperback are available wherever books are sold.
Yep, and it's 23rd printing.
23rd. What have I told you before, folks? No chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for my audience. I'm not the least bit surprised. And who has loved you since the beginning, Ted?
You. Like
exactly.
One of my first calls.
Exactly. And it's all 23 printings, folks, all because of me. Hey, Ted, we were talking about small businesses and our business owners, American business owners, and China. What about sending our products over there? Can we sell them our stuff?
We're selling them more stuff. You know, our export numbers are going up percentage-wise, but dollar-wise, they're so small compared to what China sends us. You know, we send them about $40 billion. They send us around $300 billion.
To be fair, Ted, shouldn't we recognize that there are two benefits that we've gotten from this globalization and from the trade with China? Number one, the products we've gotten from China has helped the world to hold inflation down.
True.
And number two, our standard of living has been improved by the trade with China. Now, it's created some upsets, but don't we have to establish a balance sheet for this relationship, Ted?
The thing about China is it's one giant mixed blessing. It's the biggest mixed blessing of all time. They've held.
But we tend to only focus on the negatives, though.
Right, right. And for the most part, it's been a huge boon to us. It's been a boon of hundreds of dollars a year to American families and consumers because China forces prices down on consumer goods even when raw materials are going up, which is amazing. And the lives of hundreds of millions of Chinese people have gotten better, which is something we ought to cheer too. You know, there's lots and lots of good news coming out of China. Americans, we just have a tendency to go right towards the bad. That's what we want
to
do. We want to compare ourselves to
that. That's called the 24/7 cable news cycle.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why we do that more than ever. You know, Ted, one of the things that I'd like to point out to people is that over the last 20 years, 10 years especially, manufacturing jobs have been migrating around the globe, and no country has lost more manufacturing jobs to globalization than China.
That's right. China has
a lot of people don't know that.
More people have been thrown out of their manufacturing jobs in China than China has displaced in the rest of the world.
Think about that.
Of course, it's
they got their. I mean, they could. Yeah. The funny thing is, they could be complaining about globalization, couldn't they?
And they do. 20% of China's population is in worse shape than it was in 1980.
Really?
Yeah. So it doesn't work for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There, but for the vast majority, it's a buck up. You know, their per capita incomes have more than quintupled in 15 years. So,
who are the people who are losing in China?
Well, the people who are losing are people who are stuck back on the farm with no way out, or these 70 million people have been thrown out of factory jobs in places where there's not enough economic activity to give them a new job. And
right.
Those tend to be older people. The older generation is a big loser in China. They've
mm-hmm.
lost their health care. They've lost their social insurance.
Wait a minute. It's communism. They're supposed to have all the health care they can get.
Well, that's the irony. You know, it's a communist country, and they took away all these social services once market reform began.
Okay, so I got to come back to this one thing. Red capitalists.
That's right.
The Chinese, these are Chinese communist entrepreneurs, ladies and gentlemen. And Ted, I'm giving them a new name. They're the duckbill platypus of the marketplace.
That's
of the global marketplace. You can quote me in your new book on that. I'm calling them the duckbill platypus of who could ever imagine how oxymoronic is that? Hey Ted, give us that website one more time.
www.chinainc-book.com.
China, and Ted will continue to be with us, and we got a big Olympics coming up this year down over there, haven't we?
Oh yeah, it's going to be the biggest party in China's history.
There you go. Thanks, Ted, for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim. Enjoyed it.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.